My beloved brothers of the altar, very reverend and reverend fathers, deacons and seminarians, brothers and sisters in Christ, glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Seems almost impossible to believe that it is already more than a year since this diocese gathered an assembly to nominate a candidate for Bishop of New York in the Diocese of New York and New Jersey, and since the Holy Synod met and elected an unworthy servant of God to that sacred responsibility. It hardly seems 6 months ago since those glorious days when so many hierarchs, clergy, and faithful from this diocese and the entire Orthodox Church in this country gathered in St. Peter and Paul Church in Jersey City for the consecration and Holy Protection Cathedral in New York City for the enthronement of the new OCA Bishop of New York and New Jersey. In that time, first as administrator and then as bishop, I have visited 40 of the churches of this diocese. I have scheduled visits for 14 other parishes in the next 3 months, and I still have 7 communities to schedule visitations with before beginning the process all over again. It's truly been a tremendous first few months, working with the incredible clergy of this diocese and meeting the wonderful faithful who comprise the 61 parishes, missions, and chapels of our diocesan family. I am grateful for the loving reception that I have received everywhere so far. God has blessed me with clergy of strength and zeal and parishioners of faith and love. I have witnessed a gamut of good things: the establishment of a new mission parish, the purchase of land for a new temple, the plans for a new church, dedication of new church school classrooms, library, elevator, and soup kitchen, and the approval of the expansion of another church. I've spent 2 days of each week over the summer at St. Andrew's Camp. I've been locked in at a Lenten retreat and a summer overnight with diocesan youth. And I've worked soup kitchens in 2 parishes and presented scholarships to high school students in others. This month, I witnessed almost 2,000 faithful fill our South River and Cathedral churches, venerating the miraculous, mercy-streaming icon of Our Lady of Aviron, waiting for hours on end to be anointed with her holy myrrh. In January, several hundred came to venerate the wonder-working Kerskrud icon in Jersey City. And in October, several hundred participated in a kaphis to the Theotokos, the healer of cancer, offered in our cathedral, according to music, arranged by one of our choir directors in memory of his wife who died of cancer. I've met almost monthly with our diocesan council and our chancellor and deans. We've established a council of presbyters that meets regularly to advise the bishop, and I have attended, when possible, deanery meetings of clergy. Our diocese has hosted deanery-wide open forums to learn about, discuss, and critique the proposed strategic plan of the Metropolitan Council for the future of our OCA, and I've attended national and district conventions of the FOCA and met with trustees of St. Andrew's Camp and St. Cosmos and Damien Home. And we have a website that no one rivals covering all of this. As wonderful as this picture is that I have presented, there are, of course, things in the diocese that need to be improved. Important things that need to be seriously improved. Each year, it seems, our diocese loses membership of 150 to 200 individuals. That's the equivalent of a whole parish. This is the most critical problem I see our diocesan family facing. Not only are we going in the wrong direction in terms of fulfilling the great commission of our Lord, but we are doing so in alarming numbers. Every year, when we gather in council, whether as parishes or as a diocese, our chief concern should not be the balance sheet of our finances, but the increase or decrease in the souls we are serving. That is the bottom line we will have to answer for on Judgment Day. How many souls have been brought to the Lord in our parishes, in our diocese, in our OCA? This first question, of course, feeds into the second, our ability to support our parishes, our diocese, and the OCA. Rising expenses for the cost of living, health care, and utilities, etc., have not been proportionately met by parishioner giving. As assessments are raised, membership figures are simply reduced. As long as this vicious cycle continues, vital ministries in the parishes, the diocese, and OCA suffer in the process. These, I see, are the two most critical concerns we have to face immediately in our parishes, our diocese, and our OCA, growing and giving. The truth of the matter is, number one, the Great Commission of our Lord instructs us to make disciples of all nations. Obedient to this command, we need to grow our diocese and the Orthodox Church in America. There are whole sections of New York State without Orthodox parishes. We need to establish more mission parishes in this diocese. Right now we have three to help out. Lansing, New York, which was just recently established. Oneonta, New York, which has just recently been revitalized. And Princeton, New Jersey, on the cusp of a building program. Second, from Jesus' call of Andrew, Peter, James, and John, the Church needs to encourage men to become ordained and to serve our communities. In the last 10 years, only one person from our diocese has graduated from seminary, has been ordained, and serves one of our diocesan parishes. We need to support our 6 current diocesan seminarians and ease the way for more men from our parishes to pursue Christ's calling to holy vocation and to stay in this diocese. Third, in these difficult economic times, some of our parishes are struggling, unable to properly support their priests financially. Remembering the words of St. Paul, Orthodox Christians need to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. We need to help these parishes in our diocese until they can regain financial strength. Such aid could help provide financial assistance and subsidies for priest salaries, funds for parish growth ministries and initiatives, seminars and speakers, and funds for natural church development guidance. How will we support these grand initiatives? I am absolutely opposed to increasing our current assessment. In fact, I'm opposed to maintaining our present assessment system. I hope one day that we can get to a proportionate giving approach to supporting our parishes, our diocese, and the OCA that is more scriptural, more equitable, and more successful. Until we reach that juncture, I am proposing a program of charitable giving by churches, parish organizations, and individuals who have been generously blessed by God to share their blessing with the ministry of their choice. These distinguished diocesan benefactors will hopefully share in our vision and help make it a reality by offering a sacrificial gift to help the diocese either support a mission, parish, or scholarship, a seminarian, or help an established parish that is struggling. This proposed program is completely voluntary, places no additional burden on assessments or required giving, and has the potential of providing a basis for our eventual shift from assessment-based support to true stewardship giving. I will ask you to support this pilot program of a vision for the future of our diocese when we consider approving next year's diocesan budget later in this assembly. In addition to this vision program, I am challenging our parishes as a group, and each parishioner one at a time, to seriously make the effort to grow our membership. It is first necessary to educate our faithful in being open to receiving and welcoming and assimilating new people of whatever background, into our parishes. Then we must reach out to those who we know in our families, at our workplace, among our friends, in our neighborhoods, who do not go to church at all, whether they are Orthodox Christians who are staying home for whatever reason, other individuals whose parish churches have been closed by consolidation, or whose churches have moved beyond the Bible to liberal doctrines, or those who simply have no church. Invite them to come and see Orthodoxy, the faith of the early church, the church of undivided Christianity. We must bring these people to our churches, welcome them wholeheartedly, sit with them and guide them through the services, and then present them to our rector to begin the process of catechizing. In the next 5 years, I challenge every one of you and everyone in every one of our parishes to bring at least one new person to your parish church, sharing with him or her the gift of Christ and his church, the gift of salvation and eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. To assist our parishes in this outreach of mission and evangelism, as well as helping parishes regain their own spiritual and material health and strength, I am proposing that annual parish council workshops be held in each deanery. These parish council workshops should feature invited speakers from among the clergy and lay leaders of our churches, individuals with successful track records in growing their parishes and increasing their parishioners' giving. I'm likewise proposing a diocesan youth rally in the summer and an altar service weekend in the winter to increase our young people's involvement in their church. Additionally, retreats for both clergy and their wives. The theme of all these gatherings this year will be servanthood, our calling to be servants of the Lord who serve His church. 1 year, I hope to expand these gatherings to include a diocesan family conference with activities for laymen, women, and children going on concurrently to grow their knowledge and love of the faith and their active membership in our church. I know that all of this may seem overwhelming for my initial assembly, but my friends, our situation is serious, and I don't have 50 years of me ahead to resolve it. I've been given a baton to run my lap in the race of salvation, which the church must win. And as long as I have it, as long as God gives me breath, I will run as hard as I can, as fast as I can, for as long as I can, until the Lord takes that baton from me and passes it on to someone else. I invite you to join me in pursuing this vision and bringing it to fruition. In considering saying yes, be sure not to make it about me, but to make it about Christ. Christ our Lord, our God, our Savior. But say with St. Paul, it is no longer I who live for myself, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the faith, in the flesh I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. To him be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen.